Hello and welcome to Psychology in Seattle. I'm your host, Kirk Honda, licensed therapist and professor.
Oh, I'm Professor Cousin Mandy.
And I am Umberto Castañeda. I work with nomophobia patients and help them increase their phobia.
All right, today is a grab bag episode where I present psychology research in the form of tough or bluffs. Tough or bluff number one, children who are exposed to negative parenting become more aggressive and are therefore less likely to be bullied. So it's sort of a long one. Tough or bluff, children who are exposed to negative parenting become more aggressive and are therefore less likely to be bullied. Mandy?
Tough, I don't know.
I actually would go bluff.
Why?
If their parents are being aggressive towards them, is that right?
That's one of the negative parenting practices.
I feel like they might actually slot as the victim and therefore be more likely to be abused.
Good, yeah, it's bluff. A meta-analysis of 70 studies of more than 200,000 children showed that negative or harsh parenting was linked to a moderate increase in the risk of being bullied. So basically, negative parenting leads to an increase in being bullied. The reason why I said it the other way was because I think some parents believe that when they're aggressive with their children, it teaches them how to be tough, right? And therefore, they will not be bullied at school. But the fact is that, you know, when you do studies of large groups of people, in general, when you are mean to your child, that actually makes them more likely to be bullied at school, which might not be intuitive to many parents. All right. Tough or bluff. Teenagers with high blood pressure have less distress and enjoy a higher quality of life than those with normal blood pressure. So tough or bluff. Teenagers with, in Germany, by the way, teenagers with high blood pressure have less distress and enjoy a higher quality of life than those with normal blood pressure. Tough or bluff, Mandy?
Bluff. That doesn't make sense. High blood pressure? No.
I'm going to go tough for the following crazy reasoning. I'm going to theorize that at that young age, the high blood pressure doesn't have as many negative health effects, but yet it keeps more blood flowing, which might keep them more engaged, more awake, and more, therefore maybe happier.
Interesting. Good speculation, because it is tough. Wow. A German study with almost 8,000 teens found that adolescents or adolescents with high blood pressure were more likely to be obese than those with normal blood pressure. So that sounds high blood pressure associated with obesity. But unexpectedly, teens with high blood pressure also earned higher grades and rated their quality of life as better than those with normal blood pressure. Huh. The researchers speculate that teenagers who are more achievement-oriented and teenagers who do better in school may experience more stress, leading to higher blood pressure, but also to better self-esteem and a quality of life.
Wow. Okay.
So it's interesting. It's like if you're a teenager and you're pushing yourself at school, which leads to you gaining weight and doing better in school, you actually will like your life more, which doesn't make a lot of sense, right?
Yeah.
How can people support the show, Mandy?
People can get involved with our show by telling their friends, spreading the word, especially if you know people in the psychology field or you're a psychology professor and you just don't want to show up to work today, just assign some of our episodes. We will keep them entertained. We'll give them a little pop quiz. We'll keep it light, but informative and fun. And we'd love to hear from you. Contact at psychologyinseattle.com.
Wouldn't it be crazy if they like established a college course where the whole curriculum was class session, you listen to one of our podcasts and then comment and take tests.
Yeah,
we could
have a giant, what are those called, MOOCs or MOOCs, like massive online offer course somethings that like people could come and listen to us and turn in homeworks and take midterms.
Yeah.
We could give people a degree in this shit.
That's right. What would the degree be in?
Bullshit. It's a BS.
A BS and BS?
Yes.
I'm reading about condoms. Because who doesn't like to talk about condoms?
Pound it hard.
We really need a sponsor. If anybody wants to sponsor us, you're a fledgling business. You need to get some exposure. You want to engage with young, interesting people around the world and the region and the city of Seattle. Let us know. But as of now, this segment is brought to you by Pounded Hard Condoms. I don't know. Female condoms. Can we just have a talk about that? Has anybody ever seen one? Yes?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
What is that like?
It goes around your clitoris. It's really small.
They're basically a large condom with a ring that is at the opening that keeps it open. And basically, it's like shoving a plastic sack into the vagina, and the penis goes in and out of the sack.
Rather than putting on a tight-fitting sack called a condom on the dick.
That's right.
And inserting the dick.
You're just guaranteeing that you got it on instead of counting on the guy.
I don't want to wear it, but I'll put it in it. Is that it?
Hey, I don't want to lift a finger here, but I guess if it's already
if there's got to be some sort of barrier, you got to put it up. What a thing. I don't know. Anyway, they were talking about that.
What's your...
I don't know.
Are you toughing us?
Oh, that's okay if you just...
I just like to talk about condoms. What was it? They said Lifestyles condoms. I'm sure you're probably familiar with the brand. Gets hundreds of thousands of emails from eager recruits volunteering to report for official condom testing duty. I guess it's not a Denver bluff. I just think that's very
interesting. Well, I'd say tough. Yeah.
Well, that could be rough, though, because what if they have to test how much friction and you go too far with the friction, if you know what I'm saying?
Right. And the thing is, 100% of their condoms are checked using electrical charges that are sent through the condom to spot any holes or tears.
Oh, shit. All right. Catherine Zeta-Jones, a famous actress, suffers from bipolar disorder.
Tough. I think I heard that.
I knew that already. Totally tough. Lame.
Oh, you guys are so
and
smart.
And she's splitting with
but
Kirk
this
Douglas.
Is so interesting.
Tough or bluff.
Okay, so
tough or bluff.
I'm personally very interested in the fact that she came out as bipolar, and like apparently she's now like the public face of bipolar, because it takes, you know, some bravery to like come out.
She's got it, and yes, they're splitting. It's good she's seeking treatment. If you have bipolar disorder, you should seek treatment.
That's right. Tough or bluff. People who believe in God are less responsive to psychiatric treatment for depression. Tough or bluff. People who believe in God are less responsive to psychiatric treatment for depression.
God will give me the therapy I need for my depression, not actually getting therapy for my depression. Tough. I don't know. I'm interested to see.
Bluff.
It's bluff. A New England study, the researchers found that a strong belief in God was associated with better outcomes over the course of treatment. And if I was to speculate, I would say it's because a belief in God can help people cope.
Yeah.
It's, you know, if you're depressed and life isn't going so well for you and you believe in God, that God is watching over you, that God is looking out for your best interest, that God will provide for the future, then I'm speculating that belief will help you to cope and therefore respond better to psychiatric treatment of depression. Whereas if you are depressed and you don't believe in God and you believe that there's no one helping you in the world and there's that the world is random and...
It does make sense. The hypothesis makes sense.
But it's counterintuitive because... I would say most people would say if you believe in God, you're sort of against psychiatric treatment.
Less scientific.
Yeah.
Right. More faith-based healing.
Right. But this proves the opposite, which I think is...
Fascinating.
I like it when data challenges our beliefs about people, right?
Can I go?
Yeah.
All right. Tough or bluff, guys. Ugh. The average condom can hold as much as 4 quarts of liquid. I mean, obviously not with your penis in it.
Bluff. That's a gallon.
That is about a gallon.
That is exactly a gallon. 4 quarts is a gallon.
I guess if it stretches, yeah. All right. Wait, but a gallon is like big. That's like...
Yeah. I'm going to say... I'm saying bluff 1 quart.
Okay. I'm going tough condom.
4 quarts of condom. That's what you think?
Yeah.
It's tough.
Whoa. Oh, my God.
Yep.
Man.
That's a lot of spooge.
That is a lot of
spooge.
Yep.
4 quarts, fellas. That's without your pee-pee inside.
Has that ever happened to you before?
Oh, God. Oh, that's nauseating. Why do you only ask me the gross things? Why don't you ever ask him embarrassing gross things?
Because I know he'll respond. Tough or bluff. Simply labeling food as organic makes it taste healthier. Not necessarily better, but healthier. Simply labeling food as organic in an experiment with in the U.S. with humans makes people believe that the food tastes healthier. Tough or bluff, Mandy?
Tough, sure. Call it organic. It's good for you. It tastes good. It's better than the normal shit with all the preservatives.
And it creates a placebo effect that makes you believe it's healthier.
why do you think Whole Foods is doing so awesome?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I'll go tough.
Yeah, it's tough. U.S. researchers asked 115 people in a food court to sample what were labeled as organic and non-organic versions of cookies, potato chips, and yogurt. Though in reality, the two types of each food were identical. Participants guessed that the organic snacks were nearly 25% lower in calories than the regular version.
It's the same.
They thought that the organic foods taste lower in fat, lower in calories, and higher in fiber. The participants also indicated they'd pay about 20% more for all three, quote-unquote, organic snacks.
Wow.
That's the same shit. Yes, yes.
If you tell me, like, if you put a little thing on my plate, right, it could almost literally be dog poo, okay? Maybe not quite, but almost. You tell me, these mushrooms that we picked, like, cure cancer, right? I'll eat them, and I'll tell you that they're the most delicious thing I've ever tasted.
Yeah.
I'm that extreme.
Yeah.
So I can totally buy that.
But why not eat fugu?
No, because that could kill me. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
It's the opposite. That will probably be the most disgusting thing I've ever tasted.
Tougher bluff. In a recent study of Rhode Island female college freshmen, it was found they spent nearly one quarter of their day engaged in some form of media use, particularly texting, listening to music, surfing the internet, and social networking. It was found that they spent nearly one quarter of their day engaged in some form of media use. Tough or bluff?
Yeah.
Mandy?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Quarter tough. Of the day. Wow.
Yeah. Some combination of all of those is not that hard.
If I remember right, that's 6 hours. So 6 hours?
No, quarter of their day, not the
quarter
day.
Of their waking hours.
Yeah. Oh,
not
okay.
Not the day,
okay.
But their day.
Oh, then I was going to go tough anyways. Tough. Oh.
Okay, well, it's bluff. They spend half of their day.
Oh, I can't believe we pay for them to go to college and they just fucking sit on Facebook. I didn't, and I had Facebook in my day. Facebook was brand fucking new when I got to college.
Are you kidding me?
And
are
I
you,
did not spend it.
10 years old? Wow.
All right, one more. In a recent study of the same study, Rhode Island female college freshmen, it was found that texting, social networking, and other media use are linked to poor academic performance. So these women that are using a lot of social networking and other media are more likely to do not so well in school. Tougher bluff. Mandy?
That sounds about right. You're doing a lot of Facebooking and not a lot of homework and studying and going to class.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's intuitive.
I'm going to go bluff.
Why?
Okay. Actually, they're probably spending less time doing other shit that before they would have, instead of been like studying and going to class and whatnot, they would have been actually cutting class, going out with their friends to go movies and stuff. Now, sadly, they're not socializing in person as much, but they're filling their social quota while they're studying and they're in class.
It's tough. Texting, social networking, and other media use are linked to poor academic performance, according to research conducted in Rhode Island.
Tough.
I got to tweet this out right now.
Well, you're not in school, so.
Yeah, and we don't tweet.
We don't.
This is a no-tweet zone.
All right, so no more tougher bluffs. I have a question for you guys.
Okay.
I'm thinking about getting a new TV, because I haven't bought a TV in a long time. My TVs were bought several years ago. I think that one was bought, I don't know, like 7 years ago or something.
That black and white?
Probably. I don't have cable, but I watch movies and da-da-da.
Da-da-da means porn, by the way.
I was looking online, and I found at Best Buy, they have 60-inch TVs for something like $800 or $700 or something.
Oh,
wow.
And that's 60, a lot of TV. Man.
60 inches, humongous.
I think that's a bit extreme.
I have this problem where, like, in some video games, like Grand Theft Auto, that I start playing, GTA 5, I will squint because you know, you're trying to see the little cops in the distance and stuff.
Right, right.
So I'm like, damn it, I either need to get closer or I need to buy an 80-inch television.
Right,
oh,
right.
My God.
No, okay. In all honesty, I would say no. I think 80 inches for a living room is too much in general.
It's like a video wall.
GTA 5, what do you think?
The one thing that I'm really impressed by and like kind of enjoying a hell of a lot is it's like L.A. Like they really modeled all of L.A., so I was at the Santa Monica Pier, and I was, like, going on a jet ski around, and I'm like, oh, my, it's like you're there, right? Even though the graphics are still, like, 360 graphics, right? So they didn't make that much of a leap graphically, but the fact that it's all modeled so closely, the streets, you go up the Santa Monica area and stuff, oh, my God, I was loving that. Other than that, so far, it's kind of the same experience, you know? get in a car, get chased by the cops for a while, get bored.
Are you playing the campaign?
Yeah, but it's slow going.
Are you playing, like, free play as well? Sandbox play?
Yeah. And I haven't done multiplayer yet. We're at co-op and stuff, which is supposed to be really fun.
Well, have you found that the game, if someone was teetering on the edge of sociopathy, it might push them toward the dark side?
I think it's interesting because, like, I remember seeing research that violent games are actually kind of an outlet for folks. Here's what I'd say. I think that any behavior that kind of gets you to double down mentally on things you're already thinking about might keep making you more chronically that way. And it could be for good or for bad. Like, for example, if I'm into music and I start watching movies about music and I start watching things, I kind of feel like it's all going to add up, right? So if I
happen like to when
be,
you and I go see movies like once
right.
or a documentary of the Beatles,
right. we only get more amped up about
we get very amped up like right after we're like right. let's write music right. and be the biggest rock stars of all
but
time.
But we're already predisposed to being into music, wanting to do music and stuff. Yeah. So I think that that's where I do feel like some of my favorite movies are really hyper violent, like House of a Thousand Corpses or American Psycho and stuff. And if I were a little disturbed. That might be too much for me, you know?
Yeah.
Thank God he's not disturbed.
All right. Well, here's just one kind of fun Tougher Bluff. Manny, this is particularly for you.
Oh.
Tougher Bluff, 5% of Yelp reviews are fake.
Oh.
Tougher Bluff, 5%.
At least.
Well, I'm just saying 5%.
Tough.
I'm saying bluff. I'm saying 15%.
It's 20%.
Wow. See, I was closer.
Fake. From who? Like restaurant owners?
Okay. Business owners pay companies overseas to write positive reviews, like in the Philippines.
Gosh.
So there are people in the Philippines who have never been to the restaurant and or the spa or whatever and writing positive reviews.
This is
forbidden by Yelp, by the way. And Yelp has responded to this news saying that they actually filter out 25% of reviews that seem fishy to them. If you've ever noticed, there are reviews that you don't have access to on Yelp, and those are the ones that they think are fishy.
Hmm.
But how would they know exactly, you know?
Right.
It'd be hard to be able to differentiate.
Well, they could trace where the IP came from and stuff like that. But
there are mirrors you can use that would, if you're a professional and this is what you do for money, it wouldn't be that hard.
Fake Yelper.
Well, I think that probably a lot of I'm just skeptical of every review I see on the internet, even if it's from an actual person, like Siskel and Ebert kind of a thing. I think, well, I don't know if they weren't influenced by some sort of benefit of the job. I mean, who knows?
I typically don't care what anyone says about anything unless it comes from someone I know. I mean, reviewer-wise.
Wow.
Oh, that came out wrong. Reviewer-wise. Like,
right.
when you read it online, I'd rather hear it from you.
Right.
Tell me to my face. I saw it. I thought this. I went here. I ate this. I liked it.
You think that they might be getting paid off or something?
No, I just don't care because I'm like, strangers, meh. I'll look at, like, the average star reviews, and that's as much as I pretty much care about. I'm not interested in, like, being like, well, what'd he say? Well, what did it? It's like, no, I don't have time. I'd rather be like, I'll try anything once, or this place is recommended to me by who.
Hmm.
Well, what I do with restaurants and with movies is I just do a scan. I don't read just one review for a movie, for instance. I'll read like five, and I like to read the worst reviews, and I like to read the best reviews, and I can usually get a sense for being able to predict whether or not I would like it.
I don't like to be colored by anybody.
But I don't like to waste my time going to a movie that's going to suck.
Well, I don't see movies very often, so.
Mm.
And I also don't like going to a restaurant that is atrocious, and I could have researched
it
beforehand.
How many places are atrocious? Most places are, okay, it was fine. It was good.
Yeah, that's generally true.
I'm afraid of movie reviews just because of spoilers, if I care about the movie.
Me too.
Usually they won't spoil a movie if you're looking at Rotten Tomatoes or something.
It depends, right? Because like there's spoilers and then there's people that care about every little detail like me.
Well, they'll usually say spoiler alert and then you just don't read any further.
I'm too sensitive to like, you know, you could say, oh, I saw the new Star Trek and wow, the new ship is, oh my God, I now know that there's a new ship. And you'd be like, well, that's obvious. No, it's not obvious to me.
I told you about the spoiler that happened to me at Empire Strikes Back, right?
Yes, that's a whole other realm of ridiculousness where someone yelled the son relationship.
Darth is Luke's father.
Oh God.
What an asshole.
No, that's a life-changing effect. No wonder you're like the way you are.
All right. Well, that does it for another episode of Psychology in Seattle. Thanks for joining us, and please take care of yourself.
Goodbye.
Bye.
This adventure is what lies ahead.